Welcome, pudding people, to another episode of Everybody Loves Pudding. We are your hosts, Ken Seymour and Richard Geiger. Trudging through history.
Ready for X-Men 97.
Oh, that would be so nice. If only it came out in 97.
Oh, yeah. No, sorry.
But we are going to be in 1997, just not with that. So how many of you listeners were alive in 1997? That's what I'd love to know. That's one of the first things you should let us know on Twitter or on Facebook, the listeners that were in high school or maybe not born yet when some of these things came out.
Just graduating high school.
Yeah, who knows? But the year is 1997, and there are just a number of different television shows based on comic books and comic strips. We've been going through them. Not too long ago, we went through 1996, and there were a ton. Now, they overlap, so they're just introducing more and more, and some of them are already still playing. Some of them had, you know, just a ton of seasons. We talked about Sabrina the Teenage Witch in the last episode that we covered. That went for like a million seasons. So, there's, at any given time, starting in the 90s, almost always something comic book related on TV at some point.
Were there any offshoots of Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
As far as I know, just some TV films. Gotcha. They had like three or four films that came out over the years. Obviously, the one that started the whole thing, and then they had some more later. But since Sabrina is a offshoot of Archie anyway, it's less that she gets offshoots. It's more that Archie has other offshoots. And we don't see those until the mid-2010s, if memory serves.
Interesting.
But in 1997, we got a treat. I think if you'll remember, not long ago, we talked about a comic strip that is a single panel comic strip that any one of those single panel comic strips hard to make into a film of some kind or a TV show. But you would think that if any of them could somehow make it, it would be this one. And apparently the first little film that they did for the thing was good enough to get them a second. In 1997, a little less than an hour in running time, you have Tales from the Far Side 2.
Nice. I wish I could tell you that I've seen either one of those.
Gary Larson creating the Far Side in 1980. Just a series of skits, if I remember correctly. No overarching plot, but at least in the vocal talent, you had the amazing... no, I don't really recognize anybody. You got Kathleen Barr.
Still one of the best little one-panel comic strips of all time, I think.
Yeah, it was a fun comic. I always enjoyed it, and I have a feeling that the movie was probably pretty good, too. Now, I was joking a little bit in terms of vocal talent. Kathleen Barr actually is. She's done a ton. 339 entries. She's been doing voice acting stuff for a while.
Yeah, a little bit of everything. Ed and Eddie.
Yep. Yeah, if you look at her credits, it's pretty impressive. And you know, the other big name on there is Paul Dobson, and he's got over 200 entries. So you actually have a couple really well known, at least in the industry, vocal talents. I can't really say anything about this. It's been too long since I've seen it. I actually have seen this, but it was in 1997, so I was about to graduate from college. So it was a busy year for me. Yeah.
You don't remember this less than 1 hour show from nearly 30 years ago? Come on now.
Yeah, not so much. But anyway, I figured I'd start off with something easy like that because, you know, we don't have to say much about it. It was a single strip thing turned into a kind of a minor little film. That was luckily the only film that I could find for 1997, or TV special, as it were. Everything else is actually full seasons of television shows.
Nice.
Now, we just talked about in the last year, you had Superman, the animated series that had, you know, like three seasons. Well, in 1997, the new Batman Adventures came out.
The new Batman Adventures.
That's right. The further and darker adventures of Batman with a new Robin. Focusing more on some of the people around him. Still has the same vocal talent that you'd expect, of course. We're not going to go into the origins of Batman because we've talked about him enough. But, you know, you've got, of course, Kevin Conroy doing the fantastic Batman, and Mark Hamill's still the Joker. And, you know, everybody that you loved that did the voices keep doing the voices. Now, the amusing thing is they always seem to be not entirely sure how they want to package these things. And at the same time in 97, the new Batman Adventures became the new Batman Superman Adventures.
So they went initially on the Bat or the Bat family to an extent.
Right.
But then transitioned that to have Superman?
Not exactly. Not in the same cartoon. It's like, well, we want to have cartoons for Batman, we want to have cartoons for Superman. So they just basically took the animated series, the Superman animated series episodes, and they would show one of Batman, show one of Superman. It's just, they did. Yeah.
That's okay. Yeah. I don't necessarily remember this. I remember the cover art. I remember seeing that. But I don't remember the actual episodes because, like you said, different Robin in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Got the old Tim Drake Robin before he got, well, you know.
Voted off the island.
You could say that. Got, wedged out with a crowbar, I guess. Oh, you could say.
Tara Strong as Batgirl. She did a great job with that, too. Tara Strong's pretty nice. If you've never seen any of her interviews, she's pretty cool. But, yeah, we're not going to spend much time on that either. We've talked about Batman and Superman, like, forever and a day. So just another that lasted a couple of seasons. I'm sure we're going to be covering them yet again at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go for something that maybe you're not completely familiar with, something that has some goofiness to it, something based on a comic that I'm not certain that you would immediately, I mean, I think you'd recognize the art style, but I don't know if you ever read the comic strip. Are you familiar with the adventures of Sam and Max, freelance police?
Can't say that I am.
So it's a rabbit and a dog and they're police.
In a world where everybody else is animals?
As far as I can tell, yes. It is based on the Sam and Max Freelance Police comic strip, which came out in 1987 by Steve Purcell. The rabbit and the dog work for the police, and in their off hours, they're private detectives. So, sure, why not?
Yeah, the drawing and the faces look familiar.
It's so silly. I've seen an episode or two. And when I say silly, it's like silly in the same way that overly, you know, bloody things just become funny. That's kind of the way that Sam and Max works. It's pretty violent.
Interesting.
Yeah. Now, if you look at, if you go into IMDb and they show the little trailer or series of trailers, if you look at the second row three over from the left. I mean, dude's got a beating heart in his hand. It's just, yeah.
Oopsie.
Yeah, so it's just kind of, it's kind of like what we would used to watch whenever we were, you know, when MTV was starting to do animation or not Nickelodeon. Was it Nickelodeon? Some of the more, I'm trying to think of the name of the more adult stuff that you'd see on some of those animated stations. But it was kind of like that. Cartoon Network. I don't know why.
Yeah,
my brain was just starting to spaz. But, yeah, Harvey Atkin doing the voice of Sam and Rob Tinkler as Max.
Well, I recognize those names a whole lot.
Well, Harvey Atkin has been in quite a few things. I mean, he's a 70s, primarily known for 70s and 80s films and television stuff. So this was just kind of like out of the norm. But, you know, he was in most of Cagney and Lacey as the sergeant in that. He was in the film Meatballs, if you ever watched that one. So, I mean, he was a known, he was a name at the time. As far as Rob Tinkler goes, Rob Tinkler has got a lot of voice credits. Another person that's just been around the industry for a while.
Yeah, so if you look at the Harvey Atkin and you look at him in his slightly older days, when he's more mustachioed, if you will.
Right.
I think that to me looks more familiar there.
Yeah, when you look at him a little bit, it's like, maybe kind of, unless you're really young, like half the people I talk to anymore who don't even recognize the really well-known people I know.
Well, you know, they're not on those well-known people aren't starring in YouTube videos, so they're not gonna who they are.
Well, one of my favorites, I don't know if you were working the day, but an individual that we happen to know decided to put a headband on with his long hair, and I did the little Axl Rose dance. It's like, oh, you looking like Axl Rose. He goes, yes, that's what I was going for. It's great. You like Axl Rose. It's like, I don't know. He was a skin in Fortnite. You're not familiar with Guns N' Roses? No.
Wait. Bruh.
Like, oh, man. I'm so old. Yeah.
I mean, I don't even, was Axl Rose really a skin in Fortnite?
Apparently.
I mean, I know Guns N' Roses is one of your favorite bands of all time, but they really haven't been, you know, relevant in, 25 years?
Yes, that's about right. So hard to know, but I keep making these references for that individual. And it's like, yeah, I don't know who that is. Yeah, I don't know who that is. It's like, why am I even talking to you?
You need to grow up. Well, we're educating the youth. That's really what it's all about.
Absolutely. And if we give them enough of an education, maybe they'll rise in the ranks until they become a captain. Just like Captain Star, our next entry. This is... Captain Star is another animated series that came out in 1997, had two seasons, and based on the comic strip Rockets Passing Overhead, created by David Finley. Brain turned off again. It's one of those days, you know. But David Finley, sorry, Stephen Appleby. It's been a really long day, but Captain Star is in the style of Beavis and Butthead, basically animation. It is really a little rough. if you look at this description, Captain Star and his crew, Navigator Black, Atomic Engine Stoker Limbs Jones, and First Officer Scarlet are on an uncharted planet at the ragged edge of the universe, awaiting further orders from Mission Control. And it looks like the little screen cover was drawn by your mildly talented 7 to 8 year old nephew or niece.
Has a little trouble with proportion on things.
Right. I am not familiar with this at all. I'm definitely not familiar with the comic strip either. Partly because the comic strip, it was a British comic strip, but it's a weird one.
Ah, so I see you've made another one of your exceptions.
I no, why would I ever do that?
That's why we don't know what it is, because
Just because it premiered on ITV in the United Kingdom and Teletoon in Canada, and I don't think ever played in the United States once.
Yeah, I mean,
oh, my fault.
Let's explain, folks.
Sometimes do this just to mess with Richard a little bit. He thinks I'm going to be completely serious here, and I pull something like this out. But it did run for 2 seasons somewhere else.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it was a Canadian show, right? But
right.
It's a British. Well, it's a UK show.
Yeah. That's crazy. All right. Well, let's get something good, though. Something that lasted actually 3 seasons. And it's based on one of the most popular comic book characters created in the 1990s. Can you guess what it might be? I'll give you a hint. A movie based on the same character came out in the same year.
A movie came out in the same year. So when did you say the comic itself originated in this time frame?
Yeah, the first appearance of this character was in May of 1992.
And then the movie, which we are going to be talking about, was 1997.
The movie came out in 97. We've already talked about the movie. And then the TV show, based on the same character, also came out in 1997.
Interesting. Action star, comedy.
It is action all the way.
It started in
super
19...
dark.
Do they have guns or swords?
Yes. And chains.
Oh, Spawn?
Spawn!
Yeah.
Yeah, Spawn was a fun character. You mix a little Faust in with a little Superman and a variety of other things, and you get a very interesting storyline. And this cartoon was excellent. I remember watching it, and it was just done so well. At least my memory tells me that it was done really well.
I don't know what.
Did you never
what? No, what? I've seen it pop up maybe on Max, I think, but do you know where it originated? Like where? What? What service, if you will, was it on?
Well, HBO.
Oh, well, that's why, because I never had access to that.
Yeah. So one of those rare instances that if you didn't have one of the premium services, you couldn't watch a cartoon. That almost never happened back in that time frame, but did for Spawn.
Yeah, that's probably why I've seen it pop up on Max. It's definitely something that I didn't blow over. I was just like, in more recent, you know, now that I have that streaming service that I can look at it and. It looked like it was interesting. There's 70 million other things to watch now. So gotta pick and choose. That might be a good one for like, you know, lunchtime when you're chewing on food.
Yes, yeah, they're short episodes. They're not super long. And plus, you get to listen to Keith David as Spawn. And I always liked him. He was just, it's impossible not to like Keith David. I mean, They Live, The Thing. I mean, come on, that dude's legendary.
Well, I feel like if you, all you have to hear is the voice. Obviously, this is an animated picture, but even in, from his live action things that he's been in, you know the voice. It's a super recognizable voice from, I guess, our time period, I suppose.
And then if you look a little further down on the list, you've got Michael McShane that played Garib and Twitch Williams. Now, for me, Michael McShane, I think of most from Robin Hood as Friar Tuck in the Mel Gibson, or not Mel Gibson, sorry, the Kevin Costner Robin Hood. He was so good. He's a comedian, and he's funny on top of everything else, but just, you know, an iconic voice on top of everything else.
The hypnotist who died in Office Space.
Yep. And you got Ming-Na Wen as Jade, who it's always good to see or hear Ming-Na Wen in something. You got Ronnie Cox in six episodes as Senator Scott McMillan, as well as Billy Kincaid. I mean, just the they got some really fun voice actors. And yeah, it makes sense. You know, it's HBO. That means that they can afford to go out and get some of the bigger names.
Ronnie Cox is another one, I feel like, who has a very recognizable voice. I'm trying to think here. Just the way he delivers things, and it's just like a, I don't know. If you watch RoboCop, you know who Ronnie Cox is. But then he's in so many other things. I don't know. His voice is another one of those to me that's just, you don't have to necessarily see his face to know that that's him.
That's right. First two Beverly Hills Cop films.
Oh, yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, man, I love the show. Yeah, of all the stuff that we're going to talk about today, I'd say this would probably be the one that I would suggest to current day people. That didn't make any sense. Maybe go back. People that are a bit younger and aren't real familiar with some of the older, comic book-based stuff. It holds up, I feel like, pretty well.
Did you ever read Spawn, like the series?
Oh, yeah. I had the first, when I started collecting comic books, I had the first 20 issues. And those were some of the ones that happened to disappear because my parents lost them. Ah.
Boo.
Yeah. Less than happy on that. All right. We got two more animated things to go over. These both lasted four seasons.
Wow.
One of them is going to be something based on something we recognize, and one of them is not. So we're going to go with the one that's not. We're going to sandwich it in between two things that we're well familiar with and a thing that we're not familiar with. There was, at one point, a comic strip based on a group of silly little animals called Animal Crackers. Came out in 1967. Technically, there's been a lot of comic strips called Animal Crackers that go back to the 1930s, but they're different. This specific one was created by Mike Osborn and Richard, because I'm talking to Richard. Roger Bolan, so it's just Roger Bolan started it, but handed off the reins to Mike towards later. But it's just a group of, you know, just anthropomorphic animals in the jungle that do crazy things,
like eat crackers.
Sure. But if you take a look at the little cover art on the IMDb, you can see that it's intended to be silly. kind of kids stuff. Somewhere deep in the heart of Africa lies the Freedom Wildlife, spelled Wildlife Preserve.
Interesting.
It's a haven of unmitigated natural beauty, a sanctuary our cast of neurotic characters call home. Animal crackers, where the wild kingdom just got a little wilder and a heck of a lot more neurotic. So, yeah.
Somebody's got time on their hands. Like, if you're going to watch, yeah, I don't know.
Seems like they're trying really hard.
Yeah. Four seasons, though.
Four seasons. So, I mean, Mark Camacho gets top billing. Top billing. Thank you. Looks like he must have played Nixon at some point. In X-Men Days of Future Past. Amusing. He was in Punisher Warzone as Pitsy.
Ooh.
Played Norman Rockwell in I'm Not There. Yeah, he's been in a few things here and there. Got a few voice things and other things. Only 269 entries.
No big deal. You still haven't seen Warzone yet, have you?
No, I still haven't. I've kind of kept meaning to get to it and just never quite did. I think it would make me sad if I watched it now.
Well, yeah, I mean, Ray Stevenson was awesome. He's very good in that show. The story, of course, had its own flaws, and some of the characters were kind of goofy, but if you just wanted a Punisher to, you know, go through places and shoot people and throw grenades, then this was it.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. So Animal Crackers, that's a strip I've never read and a show I've never watched. And I don't think I'm ever going to. So, huzzah! We will just skip past that one, I think. We've talked about that enough. Nobody in the cast that bears enough, you know, of our mutual fixation to really go over. You know how Spawn had a movie come out in 1997 and then had the TV show come out? Our next entry had a movie come out in 1997, and then a show based on the same property came out in the same year. And it lasted one season longer than the Spawn one did.
Interesting.
Could you guess what it might be?
When was the original material created?
Well, the original material was
technology.
A little bleep, maybe. I don't know. The original comic book came out in 1990. Is that right? I don't think so.
Superman.
Nope. I'll tell you this. The movie did have Vincent D'Onofrio in it.
Vincent D'Onofrio. The one where he's Full Metal Jacket. There you go.
That did not come out in 1997.
Yeah, I don't think the people in 1997 could have handled that.
No. This came out in
masterpiece.
1990 comic book. It was originally by Aircell Publishing and then got absorbed by Malibu and then got absorbed by Marvel. That's interesting. We are talking about Men in Black.
Men in Black. Oh, there was a cartoon, wasn't there?
Yes, and it was not my favorite. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah, I feel like I watched a couple episodes of that just to kind of get the vibe on it because I liked, you know, Big Willie style. And I thought the original movie was really good, so you know, naturally the TV show should be entertaining enough. But it wasn't. So, yeah.
Now the amusing thing is the Jay character was voiced by Keith Diamond. And you might remember Keith Diamond from the film Awakenings. He played one of the orderlies.
What was he ordering?
People to wake up, I guess. I don't know. He was the one that was trying to find the right music for the one guy that didn't seem to like anything until he found some rock and roll to inspire him to eat while he was still frozen. You know, it's just like whatever. But, you know, actually, he had a great deal of charisma. He's been in a number of different television shows. He had a small bit role that he reprised it a couple times in Burn Notice. I always really liked his work. He did pretty decent. Just made me smile. His was not the biggest name of the people that were involved with this show by any stretch, but it's the one that I think that was the most amusing, and he's playing the lead character. But you got Charles Napier as Zed.
Zed's dead, baby.
You know, he's got one of those recognizable voices with that growl.
And of course, Greg Berger, who does every voice ever in everything ever.
Yes, a little. When we say a little bit of everything, it's a little bit of everything.
Yeah. So I mean, they got some interesting vocal talent for this, and of course, you know, some of them appeared a little more than others. But you got Adam Baldwin showed up a couple of times. You had Clancy Brown show up a few times. So, I mean, you got some big names in there. I still didn't make the show very interesting to me.
Well, okay. So one of the faces that popped up, Carlos Arlazquie, or sorry, Arlazriki. So you would notice him maybe in a character in Reno 911, but he writes and directs and does voices for. He's like Bane's voice in a lot of things. He's in a lot more stuff, and I only. You know, Reno 911 is one of my favorites. And, you know, you start looking at his profile and his voice acting. And then also, like I said, writing and directing credits kind of go real deep.
Yeah, I'd say with 452 entries, he's busy.
Busy, busy, busy. Shoot. Brian James, I feel like we've talked about him before. He's like one of those, he always kind of plays
The bad guy.
the bad guy, but like not the main bad guy, just like the second in command or like the reliable
The guy that's definitely
hand.
going to die at some point.
Correct, yes.
Oh, yeah. Now, he's one of my favorite bits that he did. He was in the film that I've seen more than any other film, being the Fifth Element. He was the general of the
Oh,
armies of
that's
Earth.
true.
Gets locked in the refrigerator.
Yeah, there was a movie that I, you know, back in our days when we would, you know, have VHS tapes in your local place, you would have the VHS tape and they only had like one copy.
Right.
So if you wanted to watch a movie, you just either put your name in or request for it to be held back so that you could rent it at some point in time. And he was in a movie. Oh gosh, it was one of those cheesy old sci-fi movies. I wish I could find it on like even if I had it on DVD, I would own the thing. I can never remember what the name of it is, but he was one of those bit characters in there too. So that's where I remember seeing him from. And then every time after that, I would see him in a movie. I'd have to be like, oh, that's the guy from the thing. And that's
Right.
about as far as I could get.
If only I liked this show. Good movies,
Yeah.
though. We're also going to go with another just kind of honorable mention. We're going to go into the live action television now. There is a show that got a single season called Perversions of Science. It's based on Tales of the Crypt style stuff. It's kind of a reach, and it didn't last real long. So we're just going to say that it was there, be amused for a moment, and mention that Kevin Pollak and Jason Lee and Keith Carradine Jeffrey Combs were all in episodes of this show. Actually, they had quite a few just names of people that we all loved. Vincent Schiavelli. Oh, man. I would have had some. I think I'm going to actually have to go back and watch these. I think I have seen one of the episodes. I think one of them is the one with Kevin Pollak. I think he's trying to become the lead pilot in some ship that's going to be delivering things between Earth and other places. And he's trying to date the boss's daughter also, but she's being kind of standoffish. So he orders a robotic girlfriend. And things go badly, and he gets stuck in a compromising position, as only can happen in sci-fi comedy.
Naturally.
Yeah, so they can't turn him down because he's such a good pilot, but also he kind of cheated on his daughter, so he, like, lops his head off and just uses the head to pilot the ship. It's
interesting.
A strange series of shows, if this is the one that I'm thinking of. So there's that. But let's go on to something that lasted a little bit better. How about a television series that was a single season, but based on a comic strip that came out in 1994 that inspired a movie and a sequel, and I think maybe another sequel, that we've reviewed in the history of comic book films, that originally, at least, had one of our favorite 80s and 90s action stars in it, Mr. Robert Van Damme.
Street Fighter.
No. Time Cop.
Time Cop, that's right.
They made a TV show.
They did make a TV show for that. That's you're right. Gosh, what was that? Was that one on was that a syndicated show?
Sci-Fi Channel.
That's right. So yes, I never got to see that one.
Yeah, but it had some names in it. It had Don Stark from that 70s show, is what everybody kind of remembers him from, or Kurt Fuller, who was in just a ton of stuff. Ron Livingston's in a single episode. Sure, that makes sense. But Ted King is Officer Jack Logan, member of the Time Police, and they keep the time stream good and all that. Yeah, kind of standard stuff.
Jan was in this too.
Yep.
The end.
Yeah. I wish I had more to say about it. I never actually watched this show. I bet it was cheesy, and I bet it was fun. Now, how that got one season and this next show got two, I will not understand, because just looking at the quality of the prosthetics, considering what this is based on, I just I don't know what to say. This particular show was a syndicated show, I can't remember what channel it was on. I'm spacing it. Played in Canada and the United States, based off of a comic book that came out in brain is dying. Came out in 1993, it's part of the Ultraverse, which was kind of a Malibu thing that got absorbed by Marvel, but this character hasn't been used in forever. Mainly because the name of the character is dumb. So it's like, what do you want to do? You want to watch some superhero stuff? Yeah. You want to watch Batman? Yeah, well, we don't have Batman. What if we watched someone just as good, Nightman?
Nightman.
Nightman. Awesome.
Clever.
He's a jazz musician by day. Gets struck by lightning and gains powers. Yeah. It's one of those that it seems like it might be so bad that it's good. I never got to watch this particular show.
I remember seeing this outfit.
Oh, yeah.
And I do remember thinking, like, give me a break.
I'm never going to watch this show. It looks so bad. Oh, I mean, Felicia Bell's in it, and she's a great actress. Yeah.
So you basically took Batman, but kind of gave him the Flash's origin story?
Yeah, basically. It's like I'm not super familiar with the character because, again, it's Malibu. That's not one of my biggest knowledge bases, but it's just I couldn't get over the suit. The suit was just so bad.
Yeah, why does the dude have to have like long hair that sticks out of the mask?
So yeah, that's a great question. And how do you get the combination of telepathy and an armored battle suit?
Telepathy in it. Okay, yeah. Some people were trying too hard or just not enough, but I don't know which one it was.
Now, the fun thing is the comic, the Ultraverse comic, you know, you get a good artist on it, and he looks okay. He never looks great, but he looks at least okay.
TV show, not so much.
Yeah. Sorry, Johnny Domino. We're going to have to let your saxophone go a different way. All right.
Johnny Domino.
We've got one more live action show that lasted for 2 seasons. And it is kind of everything. I never got to see this, and I'm so sad that I didn't. Because it looks like everything that I would have wanted out of it. But back in the day, we reviewed a couple of films based on some human-sized and shaped turtles that just happened to know some martial arts. But Ninja Turtles, The Next Mutation, came out in 1997. And it's guys in suits. It's
interesting.
It's so awesome. Oh, it's like, what if you mixed Ninja Turtles with what was the Zords, the
like Power Rangers?
Power Rangers. What if you mix those two together? It's kind of what this is. And it looks so, so terrible, but so wonderful at the same time.
Yeah, the old cast just doesn't line up with what you'd consider top billing.
No, but it wouldn't need to, though, either, because, you know, everybody's in suits. Can they move around? Can they make it look good? It's not like you're looking for names when you're going from, one set of Power Rangers to the next. Nobody cared who the Rangers really were. They just had to have, you know, giant mechs that also turned into robots, and everybody's fine. I feel it's kind of the same concept with this.
Yeah. If because you're going to be in suits, even the bad guys are just going to be in different suits too, with masks on, full masks.
Yeah, of all the stuff that I haven't seen, this is definitely one. You know, it's more than just, you know, I might get to, I'm definitely going to watch this. I'm going to find it somewhere and I'm going to watch this, and it's going to make me smile. I already know it. It's just going to be so groan worthy. Yeah, you know, kind of like I went back and watched some of the Highlander TV show the other day, because I remembered loving that show. And it starts off pretty rough in terms of how cheesy it is. It's like, oh, I forgot how groan-worthy the show was. And it's like, but I remember liking that a little bit at first. And then it got better. And then it was actually really good. And it's like, oh, but I could get the groan-worthy stuff with this Turtles, and it will never get better. And it can just be awesome the whole time.
No, it just looks like the... Even like the mask, the head pieces and everything are just like disproportionate, have weird eyes.
Yep.
And that would just bug me the whole time.
Yeah. Splinter's head is like 200 times the size that it was in the films.
Yeah.
So it's carrying candy around. Kids are chasing him with pinata bats and blindfolds.
Was the Highlander show, that was a syndicated show, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think USA was where you could find that one. That one had a lot of seasons. Wish that was based on a comic book. We could talk about it here, but it was not.
I mean, I know it was Adrian Paul,
yep.
And I thought they did have some crossover between the show and the movies, too.
Started that way and kind of ended that way, and then the final film brought it all, you know, with a little bow on top.
Nice. Yeah. I feel like that was because I enjoyed the movies, that when I had the opportunity to see that show. Once again, no cable, but if it was in syndication, a lot of those shows didn't have great timing on them, except if you're going to watch Hercules or Xena. They were always on at like the same time on a Saturday night at, I don't know, 12 or 1 or whatever, and Doctor Who would be on a random night. On a PBS station, but it was like the OG Doctor Who, and it was dope because it was from like, you know, like the 70s.
Yep, that was a good stuff right there. Cheesy and fun and excellent, just like the old Hitchhiker's Guide show that they had on the telly, as they called it in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was 1997. Kind of a mixed bag. Some really good stuff, some really uncertain stuff, and some really clearly just awful stuff.
Clearly bad.
Did we miss anything? You know where to find us. We'll give you an honorable mention if you can find a show based on a comic book or comic strip that we've missed somewhere in our coverings. I don't think you're going to find it. Not unless you cheat, like I've been told that I occasionally stretch to include things.
You're stretching it.
But I'll tell you what, next time we go back into this, into 1998, 98 is a very interesting year. There are going to be 5 live-action television shows that we'll be able to talk about. But only 2 new animated television shows.
Yeah, I wonder there's a Justice League one that was based off of the same characters and animation and voice acting as Superman and Batman and Superman. So Justice League and Justice League Unlimited were
2001.
Yeah, pretty close after that.
Yeah, so we're about to get some really good stuff. But until then, keep watching some movies. As of this recording, tomorrow night, the new MCU Thunderbolts film comes out, and I'm definitely going to be going to see that. If things go well, that might be what we record our episode about next week. Or, you know, if not, well, we might have to find some filler to do in between then and now. But... keep having fun, folks, and stay safe out there. Bab, 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 bab.